Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 8 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is a social program and we are talking to Maulana Ibrahim Bam. And we are focusing on the book Enjoy Your Life by Muhammad Abdurrahman Al-Arifi. We are busy with chapter 11 with children. And we are moving into the third week of this discussion. We are going to be using this opportunity to discuss children and the issue of technology. To tell us more about this, we've got Maulana Ibrahim Bam on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, with the grace and the Almighty of the grace of the Almighty, Allah has been kind upon us.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, a brief recap of last week's program and also tell us what will be coming up in today's program.
Well, Maulana, last week we spoke about the aspect of how to deal with children, keeping in mind that this book is how to interact with people, maybe using Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a basis and as an example to follow in this regard. And we did with regard to children, and obviously the author has spoken about interaction with children and the kindness and the patience and the tolerance required in dealing with them. And he gave examples of that from the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with children. He gave a few of his own examples. And then we looked at how to interact with children, especially in the day and age, in the contemporary setting that we are living in. However, the one aspect that always comes to mind and something that most parents find difficulty in relating to and find a major change in the children is the aspect of technology. Laptops, tablets, smartphones have become a reality. And how do we deal with that aspect with our children is in the uppermost in the minds of most parents. And I thought that today let us only deal, not only the aspect of the pros and cons of technology, which very briefly we will discuss, but more specific, how do we relate and how do we monitor and how do we deal with the aspect of our children and technology?
Mm-hmm. Yes, as Maulana outlined, that we'll be discussing the issue of technology and children. We'd like you to also interact with us during the course of the program. The SMS number to the program is 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 072-786-1548. Alternatively, you could also SMS Maulana Ibrahim Bam on his side, 083-786-2859. That's 786-2859 or tweet at Ibrahim Bam. We catch up on a few commercials. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue. 13 minutes after 9, you are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International, and we do have Maulana Bam on the line. Maulana, we may start with the program.
Surely. Maulana, I think let's start off by saying that, and I know many parents would have this suggestion and say, it was so nice when we didn't have all these gadgets, laptops, tablets, smartphones to be able to contend with. It is becoming increasingly difficult for us to monitor the behavior of our children, what sites they are going into, what they are doing, how much time they are spending on the social media. And all of those particular aspects are aspects that I think by and large everyone would be able to relate to, especially people who are parents. We all know the aspect with regard to it. The fact of the matter is it has become a reality. We all know that in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the means of communications were through the means of letters. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to write a letter to the kings of the world to invite them to Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that they are not going to accept the letter until you have a seal of yours on that letter. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a ring with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right? He did not say that this is not our way. This is the way of the kuffar. He did not say this is the way of the kuffar. Why must I put a ring, all of those When the Messenger was said, that is a method of how you send communication. Nabi Karim Sallam acceded to it. So Islam is not going to be averse to progress with regard to adopting commonly used mediums for communication. I hope I've been able to explain that. Islam is not going to be averse to adopting commonly used medium for communication. Let's face it. I think even our most conservative institutions today will use the normal methods of communication that have been used. No one is going to write a letter. Today people are going to be using emails. They are going to be using WhatsApp. They are going to be using SMSs. And they are going to be using Viber and Tango and all of those particular assets to communicate with one another. And even with regard to communicating the message of Islam, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there weren't books written on Islam. Today we go into a library and you will find thousands of books on Islam. The medium of books and printing of books came after the time of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Technological progress is not going to be undone. Whether it be Facebook or Twitter or WhatsApp, whatever. Social media is a tool, and in many ways, although a tool might be inherently inclined in one way or the other, at the end of the day, a tool is neutral. And I think that is something that we're going to have to deal with. So the aspect of the means of communication, everyone is using that means of communication, whether it be our youngsters, whether it be our elders, whether it be our darlums, whether it be the Jamiatul Ulama officers, everyone is using emails, WhatsApp to be able to communicate. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was told to communicate, and he wrote a letter and he was said, you have to use a seal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say the seal is not my way, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put the seal and the letter was sent out. So to use the commonly used mediums for communication is not going to be wrong. The aspect is, just as that is going to be a reality, hardly anyone from our community today, including our children, is immune from it. So it has become an intimate part of the daily life of a Muslim, including our youth. So instead of saying that, is it a reality? Yes, it's a reality. Now, after understanding it, no one is immune from it. What do we do from here onwards?
Yes, Mulana, there's a bit of an issue with your line. We can barely hear you. There's messages coming through. We're going to try and get you on a better line, inshallah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible, because I'm doing it on the cell phone, the office lines, which I was hoping to come and do the program from the office, which normally I do, but it seems that office lines are down, so I don't know, should I try and get another line from the office?
Gee, Mulana, we're going to try and get you on a better line because we can barely make you out.
Okay.
ينام الطفل في وطني أعانقه بأحلامي ونصل الموت يسبقني إليه بخنجر دام فيذبحه ويذبحني وتنزف معه أيامي وأغزل بعده كفني وأدفن معه أقلامي وأنقش نجمة حمراء بدمي فوق أعلامي وأصرخ عشت يا وطني حرا عاليا سامي أنين الشام أسمعه فتلهبني شراييني وبغي الظلم أصرعه حاش اليوم يثنيني فمن قصف على بيت إلى ذبح بسكيني يموت الطفل في وطني وصمت القوم يكويني فيا رباه ثبتنا وأيدنا بتمكيني لنعلي صرح أمتنا ونرجع مجد حطين فعهدا شامنا إنا نقاتل من يعاديك ونحيا فيك أحرارا وبالأرواح نفديك فيا شام الفدا صبرا فحر الجيش يحميك ويوم الوقعة الكبرى وعد الله يغنيك سيعزف توتك الشامي نشيدا في مغانيك ويغزل من خيوط الشمس ثوب النصر من فيك بك المختار قد وصى وذاك الفخر يكفيك فطوبى يا شام الخير إن الله حاميك إن الله حاميك
وهاشم مبكي
A world-renowned Nasheed reciter Qari Ehsan Mohsin Qasi of India will grace the shores of South Africa as a special guest of Madrasa Zia Ul Badr for a month-long tour in August, inshallah. Madrasa Zia Ul Badr, in conjunction with Spiritual Chords, will be hosting an array of fundraising dinners and massage programs across South Africa. For further information, call Kari Musa Siddat on 083-786-4221.
Assalamu alaikum Yusuf bhai.
Wa alaikum salam Musa bhai.
Yusuf bhai, I was kurbani nu hu karwana. Bakra lawana ke hu.
Are bhai, I'm making one kurbani at home to keep the spirit of kurbani alive. And the balance of the kurbani I'm sending to Crescent of Hope. They make kurbani to all the needy, locally or internationally.
Are Yusuf bhai, mashallah, boharu bhai, boharu. Where can I find this Crescent of Hope?
Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesia, 011-852-7370.
Experience the intensity of Al-Quds, the vibrancy of Mecca, and the serenity of Medina. Book your space on Freeway Travels, Exhilarating, December 3 Haram Package. Prices from only 20,950 Rand per person for sharing. Contact us now to reserve your seat on this limited space offer. Freeway Travel on Monday. It's a matter of choice. Call 011-661-0111 or 082-378-790.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders and our listeners, the deen of ours is rich with the sacrifice of
Allah. Allah is Hakim, he knows exactly what is happening in the world. افعل ما تؤمر فتجدني.
Brothers in Afghanistan, may Allah help them and protect them. Just as Allah gave victory to Ibrahim alayhi salam over Nabi Musa alayhi salam over Firaun.
Musa alayhi salam knew that he was prone to anger.
And to Nabi alayhi salam over Abu Dahl.
افعل ما تؤمر فتجدني.
May I implore to the young Allah, if you want to secure joy in your marriages, invoke the blessings of your parents.
This is Radio Islam.
Allah's Qasam, very shortly the Summat will witness the victory of the Summat over the Firaun and Abu Jahl of today.
Have you visited Radio Islam's website at www.radioislam.co.za? Enlighten and benefit yourself by listening to audio podcasts of various on-air highlights. Listen or download discussions from categories such as current affairs, Salah awareness, family focus, loving our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hijab focus, as well as many other pertinent topics that affect a Muslim. www.radioislam.co.za taking Muslims to deeper dimensions and greater heights in the forum of international media. This is Radio Islam International.
Get yourself invigorated every morning, spiritually and mentally invigorated. What's making news headlines on the current affairs scene?
McBride on ice, suspended as head of IBID. Sangoma fears for her life after expose. The Sangoma who led authorities to a mass grave of alleged apartheid-era prisoners on a farm in KwaZulu-Natal.
Traffic report.
Boysen's M1 northbound, it is between Omondi and Bramfontein via the Crown Interchange, Central Johannesburg. M2 westbound delays.
Discussions and interviews to inform and educate.
He has no capability even to defend himself or his house or his family.
Enlightening and enriching Islami art discussions, tackling every sphere of life.
Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who offers two rakats of Salatul Duha will not be recorded among the negligent.
Frequent interesting and fun quizzes, suggestion polls, and so much more to enliven the morning of a Muslim. Join Maulana Sulaiman Roberts every weekday morning as he spiritually and mentally invigorates your morning.
Sadaqul Muslim, drive time, drive time, drive time.
الرحمن لخضعت إجمالا وتسبيحا له سبحانه رب عظيم الشان
يعلو ولا يعلى وجل علوه وصفاته كملت بلا نقصان سلطانه باق ويبقى ملكه هذا ويفنى كل ذي سلطان في كل شيء قد تكامل صنع.
Start your weekends with a spiritual touch on Radio Islam International. Join Molana Habib Bobat every Saturday and Sunday between 6 and 8 a.m. on the Robbie Zidni program for Islamic discussions that are captivating and inspiring. Masnoon Du'as, Hadith Discussion, Interviews, Recitation of Surah Yaseen, and much more. Rabbi Zidni is sure to keep the flame of Islam burning throughout the weekend. Radio Islam International, keeping you spiritually uplifted.
Madad emire Allah, madad madad madad, madad madad madad, madad emire Allah,
madad madad madad, madad madad madad, madad emire Allah. Madad, 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 emire Allah.
This is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bam. Call 011-854-1548. Tweet at Ibrahim Bam.
9:30 spot on. Welcome back to the social program on Radio Islam International. Alhamdulillah, we do have Maulana Ibrahim Bam back on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners once again.
Much, much clearer, mashallah.
Mashallah, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. You know, this program has to go out very crystal clear, as I understand. Over the weekend and we're at the wedding, Maulana, they say you people listen very closely and intensely, Maulana.
Okay, I don't. Well, it all depends what the topic is. I mean, of course, if it impacts positively upon a certain group of people, I see that people are listening.
MashaAllah. Malala, just to recap what you started off with, that Islam is not averse to communication and the means of communication. And you gave the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using the medium of using letters and then creating a seal for those letters. And then you spoke about how technology has evolved and how we are now finding ourselves in this era. Malala, coming to the question that how do we embrace the technology and at the same time not lose focus?
Yes, Malala, that is aspect. Let us all agree upon one aspect. I think just as it's a means of communication, and it is an aspect that I think by and large today no one can get away from. It's an intimate part of our daily life. I think just as there are fiqh and the Islamic laws concerning other aspects of our life, we have to bring Islamic law in this aspect of our life that must govern the communication that we have to do in this medium. We all are aware with regard to the harms of social media. We all are aware with regard to the harms of smartphones, including wasting of time. An average person will spend 2 to 3 hours per day on social networking websites. This means that each person spends approximately 5 years of their life on social media. Furthermore, many people spend much of their time chatting on these particular type of lines, which sometimes deprive them of other productive things to do in life. Addiction. Studies show that people show signs of addiction with regard to it. So sometimes while you are on it, you can also see the benefits and its excesses. Yes, it's today so easier to communicate with people across the globe. You know, and it's there. A cell phone, the way Khalid Beg so beautifully writes, magically can connect you to another person on the other part of the globe without any visible link. Yet it can also disconnect you from your immediate surroundings. Right? And we see that in, for example, in the Haram. When people go, and while they are supposed to be giving at the Rosa, Salam upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many a times the emphasis is upon taking a selfie, which is unfortunate. Isolation. Many people do not have good ways of interacting because of being addicted to social media. Decrease productivity. So all of a sudden you're finding that there is decreased productivity. False identity. That people post who are nefarious, people who have evil intentions, can now come across with false identities, which previously was not so easy to do so. They had to come face to face. Now behind the aspect of the Facebook and the internet, they can give false identities and they can exploit young children, poor academic performance. As a result of spending countless hours on social networks, students have shown a decline in academic performance. Now, with all these things, many parents would say that this is not. Let's go and just take it away. They should not have it. But is that the right way? Because what actually then happens, among the other aspects, that because, I don't know, am I clear now? Maybe anyone...
Very clear, brother.
The thing is now, how do you take it? Giving all these harms that I've made mention, and everyone will identify with these harms, and everyone can see it in front of them. What do you do? Do you say, well, the children, if they know, they do not know how to control, they will get addicted to it, they will lose time, they will lose productivity. Do I just sort of take it away and let us do something else? I don't know. How would listeners respond to that? Given these harms, do you then say take it away from them because they are young, they would not be able to bear the balance? Or do you rather say that no, give it to them? And a term that I've read somewhere and I would coin is informed responsibility. Do you rather deprive them or do you give it to them with informed responsibility? That is the two choices that we have. And I think that is what I would like to maybe perhaps continue with on this important topic.
And also the question, well, last week you spoke about permissive parenting, who give in to every demand of their children. As a parent, you are puzzled, you are in a catch-22 situation. Where do you give, at what age do you give your children access to technology? There's two extremes. One is you don't allow them at all, and one is you do allow them and you give them full freedom.
Well, my experience has shown, I know of a very friend of mine's who's a very close friend, who himself told me that he kept these things away from his children, only one day to come to know this by surprise, that the children had collected the money and have purchased that smartphones on their own.
Amazing.
And you see, you must also keep in mind, peer pressure is a very important pressure.
Mm.
When children go into school, and all their friends have got that, and they don't have it, they feel a sense of deprivation. They feel their parents do not love them enough, do not trust them enough. That leads to inferiority complex. That perhaps even lead to sometimes them having a sense of rebelliousness. That okay, you don't trust me, I'll do something to show that you won't trust me. I'm not giving any particular type of guidance. I don't have a magic wand to give all guidance. I'm just putting forward the aspects with regard to it. And many times, Mona, we underestimate the aspect of peer pressure. Peer pressure is a tremendous force. And never mind children. Children are bound to get impacted by peer pressure. I give this example many a times, which I've heard from our ulama, is that Abu Talib. Now, Abu Talib, when he was dying on his deathbed, was not a youngster. He was not a teenager.
Hmm.
He was a matured adult who helped Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at a time when people were not prepared to help Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, didn't accept Islam right up till the last moment. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on his deathbed told him, "Oh my uncle, say one time La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in my ear. I will take that one statement of yours, even if it's only in my ear, and I will intercede for you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when he said that, what did Abu Talib said? "Oh my nephew, I feel ashamed that people will say for fear of his nephew's Jahannam, he went to accept Islam and he left the religion of his forefathers." That is peer pressure, which impacted upon a matured adult like Abu Talib. That people will say that for the sphere of his nephew's Jahannam, he went to go and accept Islam and left the religion of his forefathers. Now, if it can impact upon someone like that, can you imagine what it can happen to children who do not have that necessary type of maturity and understanding? We can just imagine that.
Mm. Now, it's interesting, Mara, you cited the example of the youngster who purchased the device behind the back of the father without his knowledge, and it's a typical nature of human being. Al insanu harisun mimma muni'a.
And even the other aspect with regard to the, and these are some of the harmful things that I've made mention. But what about the aspects in today's time? People have to do their work on laptops. They have to do that. They have to email their work to their teachers. I mean, that's the reality. How do you deal with it? So the aspect of keeping children away from technology, I don't know whether it's going to work. The perhaps, and I think this is what I feel is going to be the way to deal with it. And I would like to be corrected if necessary, and I would like to be engaged, and if people feel otherwise, to be able to bring it up. That perhaps the right way is to give it to them with an informed responsibility.
Hmm.
And that particular aspect is something. Give it to him with an inform. We'll give it to you, we'll monitor it. If you find yourself responsible and using it correctly, we will allow your usage. But if you abuse it, we will withdraw that particular type of privilege. It is not a right, it's a privilege that we are giving it to you.
Mm-hmm. And with the privilege comes a responsibility.
Definitely, exactly the point.
So, in terms of measures, what kind of measures do we put in place, Manana?
Well, it's so difficult with regard to saying, but I think that the first aspect is with regard to children. Now again, it's going to be a difficulty with regard to and fro. Do you, in today's time, it will be looked upon as something that is not right, invading the privacy of the children. They are adults. Do you invade their privacy? But then do you give it them complete free rein? I don't know. I really don't know. By and large, what do you do? Do you give them the free rein hoping that you will continuously speak to them about right and correct usage? And after correct usage, by you speaking to them, they will come and find the right way? Do you trust them enough? Or do you feel that they are still too young? They will be able, they're going to make mistakes? I don't know, man. It's just something that I don't know if parents have got any experience in this regard in dealing with it. My experience does tell me this much, that if children stay or are without it, they do feel a sense of inferiority complex with regard to it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very tricky question to start off with. And I think, Morana, it starts off with also parents educating themselves with regards to social media and how it works, Morana.
Definitely. The one aspect that immediately comes to mind, innamal a'malu binniyat, actions are judged by intentions. Why are you in social media? Intention is at the core of any action, and social media is no exception. It is famously said that intention should be checked before a deed, while performing a deed, and after the deed is done. Tough questions. Why are you on social media? Why do you choose to follow, to befriend, unfollow, or unfriend someone? Why do you utilize social media? Why are you posting or sharing a particular status update? Why are you putting a particular type of DP? People always understand. Who are you targeting when you're writing something? If you're on Twitter and Facebook, when you are writing something, are you getting across to a friend that has done something to you during the course of the day? What kind of response are you seeking? Intention is at the core of any action. What is our intention when we are going to be on this aspects with regard to social? And I think that is something that we're going to have to deal with in terms of children, telling them why are you here, asking them constantly, are you on it because you want to be able to chat freely with people of the opposite sex?
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt that sometimes when you do trust your children, they prove themselves. If you keep doubting them, then they prove according to your doubts. You know, the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah says that I'm in accordance with the expectations of the believer. I'm in accordance with the expectations of people. Would it be that according to that, your children turn out to be according to your expectations for them? I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I think there's something that I'm just throwing up.
There are a few messages coming through, Manana. Can we take them now?
Yes, surely.
Listen, this is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My son is 15 years of age. To date, I have not given him a cell phone. Have I made the right decision, he's asking. I told him when you will get married, you'll get a cell phone. Is he doing the right thing, Morana?
I don't think, and from my perspective, I won't be able to judge on right and wrong. That will be very, people have got their experience, they must use it. If a person has been able to keep his son away from that up till 15 years, alhamdulillah. That's something that is, if he's been able, because there is no doubt there is temptation. And if he's been able to do it, he must monitor the progress of the son and see how it is happening. And if he feels that the son is happy with regard to it, can do without it, alhamdulillah. As I said, I'm not going to be in a position to give judgment. It's something that all of us have to deal with, and maybe find right ways to be able to deal with our children in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the issue of privilege and responsibility. I think that's the moderate route to take, like you always say.
I always say that informed responsibility is going to be the way to deal with it. Informed responsibility. I'm making you responsible. I want you to live up to the responsibility that I have given you. But you see, it's going to be a constant talking. I mean, you can't just leave it completely. I've given it to you and I expect you to behave and finish. There's going to be a constant talking. There's going to be a constant engagement. There's going to be, have to be a constant, I won't use the word monitoring, but some aspect of seeing what they are doing with regard to it, and advising them along. But you know, why are you following Justin Bieber out of all the people? Come on.
And we've got a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Yes, sister.
You know, I just want to say, many a time when things are forbidden, they become more tempting.
Yes.
And we can set examples from the time of Adam alayhi salam, from people who have got diabetic, they crave the sweet things, they want to eat sweet things. So in the same way, you know, if parents completely forbid their children from using technology and such, and not reasoning with them and not communicating and telling them why, or the harms of it, or the benefits of it, I think that, you know, they should be allowed to monitored by their parents, and obviously discussing the wrongs and the rights of it, and how to benefit with regard to your deen, and how to benefit from it, and not use the harmful effects of it. For example, even if you have friends, Mulana, I mean, if you have a friend, and you know, you don't look at the wrongs of her, you take the good side of her, you benefit from the good side of her, and then the rest is up to Allah to judge.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah for that, sister.
Mother, there is this... is there any other caller?
No.
Would you like to say?
No, well, you can continue.
There is this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Iyakum wal julus bitturaqat. I avoid sitting by the roadside. Right? Avoid sitting by the roadside. I wonder if the neutral Muslims are listening to this. Avoid sitting by the roadside. And Nabi Akram was told, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we have to, we converse with people, and we get in touch with people through the means of sitting on the roadside and meeting people on the roadside. So then Nabi Akram said, if ma lana buddha min majalisana, what happens, Ya Rasulullah, if we have to sit on the roadside to be able to discuss and converse? Nabi Akram said, fa'atu tariqa haqqahu. Then give the road its rightful due. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, Muhammad haqqahu, what is the haqq of the road? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-amru bil-ma'roof, wa-nahyu an-munkar, wa-raddu-salam, wa-kaffu-al-adha, wa-ghaddu-al-basar. Subhanallah. If you have to sit on the road, then fulfill the rights of the road. Command good, prevent evil, give the reply to salam, whoever makes salam, stay away from inconveniencing people, and lower your gaze. Right, now that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have to sit on the road, then these are the guidelines. So what it would mean is, if you have to have something, if you have to have the social media, if you have to have these laptops or the smartphones, then fulfill the rights of it. Just as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have to sit by and sit by the road, then you have to fulfill the rights and responsibilities of it. In a similar manner, you have to do the same thing.
Now the next message reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We have allowed our kids to use phones, PCs and laptops. However, as a rule, we have made it in our home that by Maghrib, nobody is allowed to use their phones or PCs or laptops except for work purposes or assignment purposes. And they are not allowed to sleep with their phone at night.
MashaAllah, an excellent way. People can do that. Because, I mean, let's face it, many a time the aspects of chatting, etc., that happens would be in the night. But whether you'll be able to, if people can monitor that, alhamdulillah. All I'm saying is that people need to find the right balance in terms of usage so that child doesn't feel deprived, doesn't feel impacted when it goes to school and has an inferiority complex. And yet at the same time, the parents be able to guide it in such a way that the usage is correct and the usage is not used I mean, there are many harms. I was just seeing a clip, someone sent me this recently, about how young people, without knowing the dangers, have been able to give away such information that predators in the community, in the wider community, have been able to pry upon the innocent, or at least apparently innocent information that has been given on Facebook, etc. So I think it's very important that we bear this in mind.
It is the social program on Radio Islam International. We are talking to Mulana Ibrahim Bam, and we are discussing children and technology. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. The SMS line, 48855, or alternatively, you could WhatsApp on 072-786-1548. The question we are asking is, how do we handle this issue of technology? What are the restrictive measures that we have in place? Mulana, like I said, you get two extremes. One is that you don't allow them at all, and one is you allow them complete freedom. Now coming towards the end of the program, we've got last 10 minutes. Mawlana, where do we find the middle path from your side? What would you suggest?
Mawlana, just as we teach our children to tie their shoelaces when they grow up, just as we teach them at the appropriate time to be able to do tasks which is appropriate to the age. I think it is just as necessary to teach our children how to navigate the social media and proper etiquette of its usage. Mm. Today, the virtual world has become an extension to our lives. If we don't take a hands-on approach, we may not recognize our kids as they grow up. Mm. Just as we speak about communication with our kids and effective communication, an effective communication would include, just as you teach them, as I said, tying a shoelace, how to wear certain things, what to do, how to do things. When they come at the age of driving, you are going to teach them how to drive. Right? You're going to take the responsibility of teaching them how to drive in a similar manner. A time will come, and I think the time has come, that just as we teach them those aspects, a necessary aspect is to teach them how to navigate the social media. My own understanding would be that there must be informed responsibility. Keeping them away, someone is always more greedy to that which it has been prohibited from. When they are going to do it on their own, then they are going to use it without limitations, without any guidelines, and that can be disastrous. Rather have a handle on it, rather than being completely away from it.
Mulana, the next message reads, Assalamu alaikum, my kids don't have any form of access to the internet. I don't own computers, tablets or anything, not even a TV. Even my husband don't own a phone. I'm the only one with a BlackBerry. However, my daughter used my phone to find out the meaning of the word sex, which one of her cousins told her about, as they all have tablets. I was devastated, but alhamdulillah, I caught her before it went too far. My advice to all parents is to check your kids all the time and limit their usage no matter how much you trust them, because these things happen under your very nose.
Well, there is no doubt with regard to it. I mean, today, let's also, as much as the aspect, I would like to ask what would be the kids' age at that particular time.
Mm.
And bear in mind that those particular aspects that the kid has been told and has taken the stuff to go and do it, it's going to be something ingrained in the curiosity of the child. It is something that, whether we like it or not, the child is going to learn from other friends with regard to what it is. And instead of learning from someone else, it must be learning from someone who is more responsible with regard to what it is all about.
Hmm. Interesting. The next one reads, Mulana, as a madrasa teacher, on few occasions found kids' phones with full porn and only terrible music. Are parents savvy enough to know what kids are up to?
Well, then, just as the children are learning, perhaps the children, the parents also have to learn. I would agree with this. If given unfettered access, the temptations are such that more than likely, never mind youngsters, even elderly people are going to get involved in this particular type of situation. With regard to adults, well, no one is going to be able to put a limitation and cap on what they are doing. That they have to have their own conscience in the fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them along with regard to the access to social media or with regard to internet. But with regard to children, maybe they are too young, or in fact they are too young, to be able to deal with these temptations.
Mm.
And in dealing with those temptations, they might even go and do more harmful things than perhaps what adults will be able to do, although that we all know that even with adults it is becoming a plague. Then really the fact is, I would never advocate complete unfettered access.
Mm.
I think there has to be two things. One is constantly speaking about the harms, constantly speaking about moral values, constantly speaking about trust, constantly speaking about responsibility, constantly monitoring, constantly all the time telling people with regard to what the harms are so that people can stay away from the harms. If people can stay away from it completely, alhamdulillah. Although sometimes, I don't know, wallahu alam, Allah knows that even in that there is a degree of them still getting access through the means of friends and cousins to that. And then of course, when they do have that type of access which is away from your gaze, sometimes they can lead to even more worse things.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Mulana, mashallah. I don't know if I've been up 8 times, but I'll try to get this across.
Mm.
You know, when I see in art many years, the artist, he invites towards what he's saying in his picture that he's doing.
Mm.
And then you find the other that invites towards himself to become famous. And when we found in making rakams, the same thing, the person invites towards Allah with his rakam, or he invites towards himself, and he signs his name there. So today we have bayans. Some become famous for their bayans and some invite towards Allah. I see with the tabir. Oh, Marikia, this is great. Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's go to the lines again. Mara, can you take one more call?
Yes, sure, sure.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kaisi Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. Farmaye.
Main keh rahi thi ke bahut zyada dabav bina achhi cheez nahi hoti. Bahut kyunki jaise hame ball pen ki spring hoti hai na, uska hum jitna dabate fir wo utni uchalti fir.
Ji.
To bahut zyada dabav maine aise bahut jagah pe dekha ke bahut zyada dabav ki wajah se na fir wo boundary ke andar jab hote hain to sahi hote hain. उसके बाहर जाते तो वो सब कुछ करते. तो इसके बच्चों को सिर्फ ये बताओ कि ये रास्ता सही है, ये रास्ता गलत है, आपको कौन सा रास्ता चुनना है. मेरे ख्याल में ऐसा सही है क्योंकि ऐसे बहुत जगह हमने देखा कि बहुत ज्यादा दबाव से वो बहुत ज्यादा बिगड़ते थे.
तो उसके लिए माँ बाप को भी चौकीदार रहना चाहिए ना.
चौकीदार रहना चाहिए लेकिन बहुत ज्यादा दबाव से जो तुम बनाना चाहते ना वो नहीं बन पाते कभी.
सही बात है. अस्सलाम वालेकुम.
You were sitting in, I was sitting on the side of the phone, so you were communicated. Give the translation of that.
Ji, the sister is saying that you shouldn't put a lot of pressure and you shouldn't restrict them totally. She says like the example of a spring in a ball pen, if you suppress it and suppress it, but the minute you let go, that thing is going to spring up very fast and it's going to have a ripple effect. So she says rather have, so what Maulana is advocating, informed privilege, you know, with responsibility, allow them to use the technology so that it doesn't create the extreme side of life, Maulana.
Yes, I would like, I'm just trying to think because there are a few people who have sent their messages in today's program to say that they have been able to keep their children away from it. One was very clear with regard to 15 years of age, which alhamdulillah it is a remarkable type of aspect to be able to have that type of control over a child with that age. The other one said that they have been able to keep, I was wanted to find out what exactly the age of the child. But also, is there situations, let's I don't know if there's time to get and gain experience, or maybe next week we can do it. Experience from parents from both sides of the spectrum. Those who have not given their children this access, and how do their children cope? And many times people will give that our children are demanding and they kick up tantrums and then they become even more rebellious and they go into moods because they're not given it and they just sort of become difficult to contain when they don't have it, when you don't give it to them. And how would those people react when they don't have it? Have people been able to monitor their particular type of behavior? And when you have given it to them, have people been able to see and been able to monitor to see that it has been correctly used? And if it has been incorrectly used, how are you going to bring about a change in that? I think these are the type of questions that we need to be asking, and maybe people might be able to have some sort of experience to guide us in this regard.
My next message reads, Assalamu alaikum Maulana Bam. We the grandparents really feel abandoned by our beloved grandkids, all busy with game or Google, gifts and even food is not realistic nowadays. A sad nanny.
Yes, the aspect with regard to, that is a very true aspect with regard to it. How maybe with these things, and of course, then maybe the right thing to do is that there are certain times in which these things would not be acceptable, especially when you go and visit the grandparents.
I think
put
that
thing in a phone. Go and speak to Nana and Nani and Dada and Daddy.
But maybe the poor is sitting on a phone, so that's why the grandson is sitting also, right?
Well, that's a jazakallah for that particular type of message that come. But I think, did that message come via WhatsApp, huh?
No, it came via SMS.
Alhamdulillah, at least the nani knew how to use SMS.
The traditional way, brother.
Traditional way.
MashaAllah. Mullah, you've got just about 40 seconds, your concluding remarks.
Well, I think we haven't really been able to do all the aspects. One thing I will say, our children today have become open to temptations that we in our age have never been. Constantly make dua, constantly speak to them. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama should be constantly part of our dua after every salat. And I'm going to say one small amal with regard to our children, which I've read in our Kabirin's books, that constantly every morning and every evening, together with three times Durood Sharif, read the name of Almighty Allah, Ya Shahidu, 21 times. After Fajr and after Maghrib. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep an eye and gaze and protect our children. So many people will be asking me this, and to make it easy, it's very easy. Ya Shahidu 21 times in the morning and evening, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep a gaze of protection over our children. And I don't know if we can always discuss, Moana, whether you want to continue with us or look at the next chapter for our next program, inshallah.
Inshallah. Moana, hopefully you'll tweet the dua. Others will be inundated with calls afterwards, inshallah.
Oh, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.